GOP senators are accusing Joe Biden of breaking the law. President Biden, they say, is breaking federal budget laws, and he began doing so when he suspended the construction of the border wall on our southwestern border. They're arguing that the construction halt is contributing to the current crisis at the southwest border and that the move was not allowed under budget rules. They want an investigation. Hello, everyone. This is Trish Regan. You're listening to Trish Intel. Very interesting story coming to us today. We've got Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, along with 39 other Senate Republicans, calling on the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, to investigate Joe Biden for a possible violation of a 1974 Budget Act. The act forbids the executive branch from refusing to spend congressionally appropriated funds. So they issued a letter, this GOP letter. They said on January 20th, in one of his first official acts of his presidency, Joseph Biden suspended border wall construction and ordered a freeze of funds provided by Congress for that purpose. In the weeks that followed, operational control of our southern border was compromised and a humanitarian and national security crisis has ensued. The president's actions directly contributed to this unfortunate and yet entirely avoidable scenario. They are also a blatant violation of federal law and infringe on Congress's constitutional power of the purse. You know, I'll tell you one thing. This is a crisis. All right. The Biden administration doesn't want to call it a crisis. But what else do you call it when you're now on pace for the highest level of illegal crossings? Wait, we can't say illegal anymore. What, undocumented crossings in the last 20 years? Something that actually the administration, in fact, does admit. Tuesday, the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said, quote, "We are on pace to encounter more individuals on the southwest border than we have in the last 20 years. He said the situation, quote, is difficult. Yeah, you think? I go on. Our goal, he said, is a safe, legal and orderly immigration system that is based on our bedrock priorities to keep our border secure, address the plight of children as the law requires, and enable families to be together." Look, here's the problem. I get that we want to be as humane as possible. Of course, we want to be as humane as possible. And of course, we want to do everything we can to welcome children, make sure children are safe. But unfortunately, there's such a thing called the law of unintended consequences. And in this law of unintended consequences, the Biden administration has effectively sent a message to all of Latin and Central America saying, hey, come one, come all. Right. Oh, and maybe you'll get a stimulus check, too, because don't forget, Senator Cruz put that amendment forth that would have prevented anyone who was here in an undocumented fashion from getting any money from the stimulus. And that was voted down by Democrats. Anyway, so they're sending this message that it is come one, come all, and that we will welcome anyone, especially children. And when you send that message and you do not have the manpower, you do not have the bureaucratic strength and might to actually process all these people, well, what do you wind up with? A good old-fashioned crisis. And so now you have all these kids crowded into, dare I say, cages, because that's what they called it under the previous administration, right? Even though those facilities were there under Barack Obama, even though those facilities are in operation there right now. Anyway, bad policy leads to bad outcomes. It's not that hard. Coming up, speaking of bad policy, what do we have? An unemployment virus in blue states? It sure looks like it. I'm on it next. Well, the Federal Reserve said yesterday that it's going to keep interest rates historically low for an indefinite period of time. In fact, it looks like going into 22 and 23, we're still going to have low interest rates. We're still going to have massive bond buying purchases by the Federal Reserve. And they do expect some inflation. And they do expect some GDP, overall economic growth. And they do expect unemployment levels to subside. So all of that is good. But I just ask, why do they have to continue all the money printing? Well, apparently they want to make sure all of this happens. Of course, that too comes with unintended consequences by way of inflation, not necessarily even in the price of everything that you pay. Although you look at last month's data and what you see is that food prices and energy prices have shot up rather significantly. Part of that was the Texas energy issue, but a lot of this is just that things are starting to cost more. Food going up 3.5%, in restaurants going up 3.7%. So prices will go up in some way, shape, or form. It may just be that you see massive inflation within asset prices, like the stock market, like real estate. But whatever it is, you need to be prepared for it. I want to jump to this unemployment number because this is crazy. When you look at the breakdown, and my friends over at the Committee to Unleash Prosperity looked at this state by state by state, and you see in states like South Dakota and Utah and Nebraska and Vermont and Idaho and Iowa, all led, New Hampshire, by the way, and Montana, led by Republican governors. And you compare and contrast them, say, to Connecticut, Nevada, New Mexico, New York, California, Hawaii, states that are led by Democrat governors. And what do you see? You see that there's a real problem with unemployment among blue states. In other words, there's kind of a blue state virus out there that's infecting Democrat-led states. Of course, it's not really a virus. It's a way of thinking, shall we say, because you have Democrat governors in all of these places that locked down, that wouldn't keep their economies open, that wouldn't let kids go back to school. In fact, interestingly enough, the only two states that actually have unemployment rates lower than 8% that are run by Democrats are Wisconsin and Kansas. And both of those states happen to have Republicans involved. In fact, the Republican legislature overruled the governor and opened schools up in Kansas. Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, the Republican state Supreme Court struck down the governor's lockdown there. So what does this tell you? It tells you that the smartest policy was to keep things open. In fact, when you compare and contrast states like Florida, right, versus states like California, and you look at actually not just the unemployment, but the death rate overall, what you see is that, you know what, staying open actually was the better thing to do. Anyway, this has to get fixed, right? Because you can't continue in an environment where we just blame everything on coronavirus. I realize it was highly politicized a year ago because they had political motivations for wanting to see Trump gone. They used those, they executed on those, the left did, that is. And now we're in an environment where they're going to continue to try and do so. Joe Biden telling us, you know, we're at war with a virus. Well, the good news is the war is coming to an end. We're at the end of the war right now. So why is he spending $1.9 trillion? And why is he looking for $2 to $4 trillion more? In fact, that's the next step, right? These two, Biden and Harris, are going to start crisscrossing the country, promoting the idea that somehow we need an additional $2 to $4 trillion. I mean, are we living in some kind of alternative universe? Sometimes it feels like it. I'm on it next. Remember when Joe Biden told us $1.9 trillion was just a down payment? The guy wasn't kidding. You know what? Get ready, America, because the greatest American tax hike is in the works. After all, you cannot spend $1.9 trillion that you don't have, right? Let alone an additional $2 to $4 trillion, which is exactly what the Biden administration is now prepared to ask for. They're going out on tour. They want a new deal with basically the highest increase in federal taxes since 1993. And these tax hikes, if they're approved, would take effect next year. Good luck, America, right? I mean, so for starters, President Biden and his team, they want to look at raising the corporate income tax from the current 21% to 28%. They want to raise individual income taxes on anyone making more than $400,000. They want to expand the reach of the estate tax. And they want capital gains taxes on anyone who has income over $1 million. They want to then, well, at least he proposed this on the campaign trail, charge people an income tax rate on their investment instead of capital gains. Oh, and that's not all, right? They're even talking about a wealth tax, something that Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, admitted on Sunday on This Week with George Stephanopoulos that they were looking at. I mean, give me a break, people. You know, this system will not work. This is government gone wild. This is what I call government gone wild. And really and truly, it's as though we have a bunch of people in the administration that have never really worked. Huh, what do you know? They never really have, right? They've always been in politics. And so they don't understand what it's like to have to meet payroll. They don't understand what it's like to work your whole life to create a business that you're going to leave to your children. They have this crazy utopian world that they live in, where the more power they can accumulate, therefore the more money they can accumulate there in government, the better off they think the world is, which is why you have people like Senator Warren out there pitching this idea of a wealth tax. Let me tell you, something like this has been tried before. Not exactly a wealth tax, but certainly high taxes, right? It came via François Hollande in France. Just a few years ago, he put this in 2012, and it lasted a whopping 2 years. It was declared a massive, huge failure, a total disaster. You know why? Because everybody left. Everybody's like, okay, we're hightailing it the heck out of France. You have that actor. What's his name? The famous French actor that relocated actually to Russia. To Russia, right? Because he was like, well, I'm not going to pay these high taxes. Yeah, all kinds of athletes. Gerard Depardieu, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong, but you know the guy, really, really famous French actor. He's like, I'm out of here, right? And a bunch of athletes were like, wait a second, what? Anyway, they hiked taxes to 75% with this super tax, and they saw more than 2 million people leave the country of France. The danger is that same sort of thing, maybe in a different way, could and would happen here. Companies would find ways to be creative and go offshore. We saw it before. Who's to say we wouldn't see it again? And this is why you have to think about things like the Laffer curve, right? Art Laffer, my friend Art Laffer, who really charted this out in a great way, famously on a napkin for President Reagan. But basically what it shows you is that you need a balance so that businesses and individuals can grow, because that growth eventually benefits the federal government. In fact, what's really interesting about the years preceding the pandemic, the 3 years between 2016 and 2019, you know what? We saw taxes get lowered for the individual and for corporations. And yet that year, government collected record tax receipts. In other words, let's just grow it for everyone, right? Why do we have to have this class warfare environment with increasingly haves and have-nots? Let's not forget, during the Biden-Obama years, that's exactly what happened. For 8 years, the Federal Reserve kept lowering rates and kept the spigot open, right? Kept printing money. And instead of actually everybody benefiting, you saw increasingly a two-tiered society. So that's what we could be set up for all over again. This two-tiered society where people with assets invest in the market, they benefit, but the middle class gets squeezed, right? Alongside the lower class or the poorest Americans who will get squeezed, but they'll also get lots of handouts, right? From the federal government that's looking out for them in ways that they're not looking out for the middle class. So we need a better system. We need to be able to increase everyone's wealth rather than set up a scenario where you will have these have and have nots. And then you set up a scenario, of course, that goes after those haves. I mean, none of this really makes any sense. So let's go back to basics. Let's just open up the economy. Let's get rid of some of these regulations. Let's get rid of all these heavy taxes, and let's let people do what they know how to do. This is a great, phenomenal, successful country for a reason. We cannot turn our back on capitalism now. I encourage you to download this podcast, to tell your friends, and to make sure you go to trishintel.com and you sign up for my emails there. I'll be talking with you again tomorrow.